Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Shell's 3 Cents, where ordinary people face their interests, concerns, fears, and curiosities by participating in engaging, witty, and sometimes pretty funny dialogue. And I'm Michelle Murray, your host. Well, this Friday morning in Los Angeles has gotten off to a hectic start. I guess first let's talk about that bomb that went off at the Pasadena Cheesecake Factory in the wee hours of this morning. Apparently it was homemade, and fortunately no one was hurt. The location is expected to open later this afternoon. Actually, in about the next hour, it's expected to reopen. So just operate with caution if you're in that area. A suspect has been identified and is currently being pursued by the L.A. County Sheriff's Department as well as Pasadena PD. We've also still got plenty of marches and rallies going on in the area, decrying just about any and everything you can imagine. So if you want to avoid these areas, or, I don't know, maybe you want to be part of the fun and pull out your protest sign, well, there's a new list that just came out from the LAPD, so a couple of areas you should be aware of for this weekend. We've got the Medicare for All rally, which takes place tomorrow at Pershing Square. And, yeah, it's really what it sounds like. There's a group of folks that want everyone in the entire country to be eligible for Medicare. And they're going to protest until they get their way about it from 11 to 2 p.m. tomorrow. So just know if you're in that area, expect delays. And the streets in and around Pershing Square will be blocked off. Another area you might want to take note of is out by LAX. We've got the Occupy LAX, which is happening tomorrow. And their time says from 1 p.m. until complete. Now, most of us don't head out to LAX unless we absolutely have to. But if you do have to go this way, you need to head out about 6 or 7 hours early instead of the usual 1, 2, or 3 that you do. PD is telling us there's going to be quite a mess over there. And if you have a flight, but you need to pick someone up, you need at least 6 to 7 hours of leeway during that protest. Some of those protesters are staying overnight, actually, at LAX. And what they're trying to do is they hope to speed up the release of some of the new detainees due to their visas not being honored and different things. So they're out there protesting that. And they've brought their food, they brought their water and their phone chargers. And, you know, they brought their phone chargers, so they're in it for the long haul. Also says that they're looking for Arabic and Farsi speakers. So if that's your thing, I guess head out to the rally. Then the third thing that's happening this weekend that you may want to avoid is that no free speech protest over at UC Berkeley. And that's their term, not mine, no free speech. That's what they're calling it. The fact that they had a speaker, Milo Yiannopoulos, he was prevented from speaking to a group who invited him to their campus. The group of Republicans, they invited him to speak, but he was denied by this no free speech group. And honestly, that should make supporters of free speech everywhere kind of shiver. You know, we need to all really think about that. So anyway, basically these progressives over at Berkeley have decided that if they don't approve of what you say, well, you shouldn't be allowed to say it. And they actually want to have some laws come into effect about this. That kind of sounds like a show I should do on another day. But anyway, on a lighter note, it is Super Bowl Sunday this weekend, and no matter who you're rooting for, or even if you're not into sports at all, you might want to watch the Super Bowl for free on a really big screen at the Downtown Independent starting at 3:30 p.m. this Sunday. And it's open seating, so just kind of first come, first serve, sit where you want to. There's going to be free soft drinks, free popcorn, but beer and wine will be available for a charge, and lots of food vendors will be there. Lots of good stuff, lots of great companies. If you don't have anything to do, go ahead and check that out. Well, today I'd like to talk just a little bit about encouraging one another. That seems to be an art that we are losing anymore in society. And encouraging one another is so important. Whether you're talking about a family, a person, a ministry, or a church, but the question I have for everybody today is, what role are you playing in encouragement? Are you part of that building up process or that tearing down process? And I hope the answer is that you're part of that building others up process. And somebody on the chat is asking, well, what am I talking about when I mention encouragement? Well, a lot of people associate encouragement with just flattery or trite little expressions like, oh, you look so nice today, or have a great day, or take care. And that's not really what encouragement is. Now, don't get me wrong. Those expressions are fine. Absolutely nothing wrong with them. But that's not meaningful, real encouragement. It's not. Encouragement means to put courage in. Isn't that a great concept? To put courage in. So to fill others with courage. We can encourage fellow human beings, right? When we instill in his or her heart the courage to face the world. You know, now everybody wants to act like Kermit the Frog and sip their tea and, you know, eat popcorn and watch the Facebook comments or listen to everybody's problem, but nobody's really interested, or very few people, because I do know some great encouragers. But so many people just say, well, it's not my job, it's none of my business, and they keep going. But I'd like to put some thoughts on your heart today about offering encouragement to others. Okay? Because the bottom line is, we are all responsible. We are all tasked to encourage others, every single one of us. And so that brings me to today's guest. She's going through some things, and that's an understatement, actually, and she could really use some encouragement today. She's suffering from cancer. She can't afford treatments anymore, and her insurance company just doesn't seem to care. So, Monica, thank you for joining us today.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I guess I could be better.
Yeah. You know, bring us up to speed a little bit. Fill my listeners in on kind of what's happening. Give us some of the backstory and bring us to today, kind of what is going on.
Okay. I guess next month I'll be 37 years old. I've been taking care of kids pretty much most of my life. And of course, you know, like one of the big things is a lot of, you know, little girls dream of being a wife and having a family and having kids of your own one day. I mean, just, you know, it was always something that was in my plans as well. And my husband and I have been together for 9 years now. And I mean, that journey to becoming parents was definitely a struggle. We went through two miscarriages before getting pregnant with our daughter, Ariana, and that was back in 2009, 2010, and then everything seemed to be going well, and we finally thought we were going to be parents, and then on April the 12th of 2010, I started having extreme pains and went to the emergency room, and they told me that Ari's heart had stopped, and so they pushed me into labor, and at 28 weeks and 3 days, she was born sleeping, and so we, you know, once again, like, had another loss, and obviously that one was a little bit harder than the miscarriages, because, you know, I mean, I actually, like, held her body in my arms and everything, and it was just very, very difficult. I mean, with each loss, it's definitely something that gets harder and harder, but I kept trying to stay positive because I wanted to be a mom, and we tried again about a year later and then went through our third miscarriage and fourth loss, and so we decided to just put it on hold for a while. And after probably another year, I started having some, like, serious pains, and I'm one of those people that tends to be a little stubborn sometimes about, you know, being in pain. And so I didn't rush to the hospital right away. And then after it just got to the point to being too much, I finally just did and went to the ER, and they kind of just kept brushing it off and were telling me things like, it's just a kidney infection, it's a UTI, it's no big deal, here's some antibiotics, and kept sending me on my way. And that lasted for about a year and a half, and several emergency room trips, and I kept hearing the same thing. And so finally I started doing my own research, and nothing I was finding was good, which I guess sometimes tends to happen. And finally, the next time I went to the ER, I begged them to just do an ultrasound, and they did, and found that they basically just confirmed my fears and diagnosed me with cancer. And, you know, I kind of at that point was a little bit accepting of it because I had, you know, been in pain for so long and finally had an answer. But then they still kind of hit me hard, because then they told me it was not only cancer, but it was stage 4 ovarian, stage 3 endometrial, and stage 2 stomach cancer, and told me that I had to have emergency surgery, which entailed a full hysterectomy, a full appendectomy, and they removed part of my stomach. And, of course, you know, from the hysterectomy, that meant no chance that I was ever going to be carrying the child. And I think that was probably the hardest part, more than the cancer part. It was, you know, not being able to have a baby was definitely the thing that hit me and my husband both the most. And from there, it went on to 35 rounds of aggressive chemo treatments, and then another 25 of intense chemo radiation after that. And then just continued, like, follow-ups. And, of course, every time I would go to the doctor, they would pull me aside and let the finance people talk to me and, you know, saying, you know, when are we going to get our money, basically. And we had no way to possibly pay. I mean, obviously not being able to work because I was in such pain before we even got the diagnosis, like, put us behind on several bills. And then the medical expenses just added to that, because before insurance would even help, you know, we had to come out of pocket ourselves. And so, I mean, we were in extreme debt from all of that. And about 6 months ago, they discovered that the cancer had returned. But because we have a previous balance, the insurance has now, like, said that they are not going to sign off on any further CT scans or any other chemo or radiation or any other kind of treatments, because our balance is too high with them. And yesterday we found out that the doctor's office says that because we still owe them a balance as well, that they are no longer even going to approve any regular checkups. So at this point, our hands are completely tied, and we've tried every government agency, we've tried charities, we've tried everything. We've heard from a few of them that have told us literally, if you had kids, we would help. So we're being punished because we can't have kids. You know, even more for that. And it's like, every agency goes by, like, the amount of your checks before taxes and everything. And it's like, that's not the true amount. That's not what we bring home or anything. I mean, we literally have a little over a third of our paycheck is taken from just taxes and insurance. So we don't even see it. That money never hits our bank account at all. You know, so,
and so you're,
like,
actually still paying on insurance that they won't pay on a claim for you right now?
Yes, exactly, because if we don't, then we get fined for not having insurance.
Right. You should do. When you file your taxes, you're going to get a fine, yet they won't pay for you. Well, I'm just curious, what does your insurance company suggest you should do? Like, have you asked them, hey, what am I supposed to do?
We've tried, like, pretty much every department of our insurance. We've talked to them all, and they've all basically said, like, at this point, the only option we have is to pay off the balance that we owe, and that's it. Like, that's the only possible option we have. There's no, like, assistance available for us to help get it off or anything. It's just we have to come up with the money to pay it off, which at this point is, like, just over $6,000, so...
Right, and what is that must really be stressful to have to deal with this. But what a shame, because now there are people that are messaging me here that, you know, hey, how can a doctor, you know, refuse care, go to the ER? But it's just not that simple as go to the ER, because now I want you to chime in and tell us your experience here. Cancer treatment is not considered an emergency.
Exactly. It's not, like, I mean, yes, doctors cannot refuse, you know, to give, you know, if you're laying there with your arm severed or something like that, yes, they have to help you. That's not what cancer is. Cancer is basically an optional expense. And it's really, really crappy, and it's very unfortunate that it's that way, but basically it's like specialty care. I mean, you know, it's just not, you know, I mean, we have a country that's full of people that are overweight and obese, and weight loss surgery is kind of like the same thing. You know, it's like a lot of people would love to have it, you know, as an option to get healthier, but it's pretty much an optional expense to most people. So it's, I mean, it's something that just doesn't happen. It's like you have to literally be bleeding out in front of them for them to be able to touch you and do anything. And I mean, we've tried to every avenue. Like, I mean, I've called hospitals all over the country. I've talked to like cancer treatment centers in Tulsa. I've talked to MD Anderson in Houston. And I mean, they all tell us the same thing. It's like insurance has to be able to, you know, approve any of that. And of course, any of those, since we're from like the Fort Worth area, you know, like all those would have to include like expenses to travel and everything. So it's just not an option.
And what is the specific reason your insurance company is given for not paying out? You've kind of reached your cap, or why won't the insurance
we have an extremely high deductible because that was the only way we could even, you know, halfway like get our insurance to be there. And like as far as they're concerned, like we just need to pay off our balance, which I said is just over $6,000 right now. And they're like, well, once you do that, then we can go ahead and get you started on, you know, whatever you need again. And it's just like, well, I got to find a magic money tree first, because I'm not ready. You know, I have nieces and nephews that I would love to be able to watch grow up and see graduate and all that. And I just, you know, it's like I'm not ready to give up fighting, but I mean, I can't give myself chemo treatment, so it's like I don't know what else to do anymore.
Right. How is this affecting your mental health and your stress levels? This has to deal a great blow to those things. But how are you coping with all this?
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, I am, you know, I am a Christian. I believe in God, and I've always believed that, you know, everything does happen for a reason. But, you know, I mean, it's like the first time around when I was having to go through, you know, even just losing my babies, or, you know, or being diagnosed the first time and going through the treatments and not even wanting to get out of bed because I was in just so much pain. And, I mean, just normal stuff like opening doors that were just too heavy, or reaching up to a top shelf for something that, you know, stuff that sounds so simple that you could be able to do every day, and I couldn't do it, and I would have to ask for help. I mean, those things definitely knocked me down, you know. We're like, okay, because it's like, I mean, you reach a certain point in your life, you reach a certain age, and your pride, you know, takes over, and it's like, I don't want to ask for help. I want to be able to do this by myself. And, you know, I try, you know, taking little jobs here and there, you know, whatever I can do, because, you know, like there's a lot of jobs that I don't even qualify anymore because, like, I mean, everything the chemo and radiation did to knock me down, you know, doctor's orders, like I'm not supposed to be able to lift, you know, more than 15, 20 pounds, which, I mean, there's a lot of jobs that even if you don't lift anything, like that's on the application, you have to be able to lift more than 25, 30 pounds. And if I say no, well then... You know,
yeah,
it's like,
no,
I can't lie to you. But, yeah, so, I mean, definitely, you know, feeling like just not having that independence anymore is definitely a hard hit. You know, it frustrates me. I try to, you know, hide it, you know, especially, like, even just from my husband. I try not to, you know, try to put that brave face on and be like, okay, I'm fine, I'm okay, you know, it's going to get better. And, you know, and it's like, I mean, I see him get frustrated each month, you know, when the bills roll in. And it's like, we try to do everything that we possibly can. And, you know, and in our minds, we're all still thinking, you know, that that's okay, because they're doctors, they have to see you, they have to do all of that. And we're all thinking the same thing. And then they call and say, we can no longer see you.
Yeah, and that's really a blow. Someone's chiming in here. Have you looked into treatment in Mexico? That would be not. You still have to get there. You'd have to get a passport and get there still.
Yeah, we don't. We neither one of us have passports. So that would probably entail a lot. And then of course, you know, having to take time off the jobs that we need to, you know, pay the bills that we already have. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's kind of like a catch 22, I guess, at this point.
Yeah. And I saw that, so there's a GoFundMe that's been started. Tell us about that. And I've posted it for anyone that's interested. I did post it on the chat. It'll be posted on our website and on the Facebook. But talk to us about that GoFundMe.
That's just, I mean, a couple people that, you know, tried to encourage me to, you know, reach out and just ask for help. And it's one of those things where, you know, nobody has to come up with, you know, the $6,000. It could be $5. It could be $10. It could be $100, you know, and it's just a way for other people to show, you know, that they are, you know, supporting us and that they're there for us and, you know, keep us reminded that the fight's not over and to keep trying and keep the faith strong. And I mean, it's like, it definitely takes a hit on your pride to have to ask for help. But, you know, at this point, it's like I said, I mean, I'm not ready to give up. I don't want to just lay down and just let cancer take over. I want to fight it. I want to do whatever I can to beat this and get over it and just keep living and keep, you know, keep staying strong and continue, like, doing things for others that, you know, I try to do as much as possible, you know.
You know, and I try to operate in life with the mantra of, you know, we are our brother's keeper. And that's kind of, you know, I come back to that, and it's kind of what I really see here in this case. I do feel like as a community, we need to come out and help you and support you and encourage you and not just let you, you know, curl up into a ball and give up. I think that's horrible that the system has basically said that, you know, that's what you need to do. Just, okay, whatever, not our problem. I don't understand how we can have a system that is that broken and in desperate need of repair on an issue this serious. You know, this is a really serious issue. Have you reached out to any of your congressional or senatorial representatives and seen if there's anything that they can do to help you?
That's actually probably something I have not tried yet. I don't think I would even know where to start on something like that. I would definitely be willing to try because, I mean, obviously, I mean, something, you know, does need to change. I mean, it's sad that you see people that get away with living off the government for years and years, and it's like they're not willing to do anything. And I mean, I'm one of those people, like, I want to work. I want to, you know, pay my own way and pay taxes and do things. Like, I'm not somebody who wants, you know, everybody just to do it all for me. You know, that's never been me. I've been working since I was 12 years old, you know. So that's just, you know, it's like I want to be able to do things, but, you know, it's like when you get told no so many times, you can only take so much, unfortunately. So.
Absolutely. It's so true. What bit of advice or encouragement would you offer to someone else who finds themselves in a similar situation, that they really need medical treatment and they just can't seem to get any help no matter which way they turn? What would you say to somebody going through that?
For me, what I would say is just, you know, like, don't give up. I mean, it's like, I mean, like I said, like, we've tried everything. We've talked to every agency. We've talked to charities. We've talked to, you know, everyone till we're blue in the face. I've spent, you know, like, literally days on the phone and online and emailing, and it's extremely frustrating. And it's just like when you get online and you see, you know, people going on vacations or, you know, like, spending time with their kids. Oh, look at the awards my kid got and all that. Like, I mean, those good things in other people's lives can tend to knock you down a little bit even more, because you're trying and you're trying and nothing's happening. And so even just the simplest things, like, can, you know, knock you down. But then, you know, when somebody pops up and says, hey, you know, I just thought of you today and I love you, or, you know, hey, here's a $20 gift card for gas. And it's like, I mean, I've literally had a couple people like do something like that, and it's like, it's $20. It's meaningless to most people, but, you know, I mean, I can literally sit there and take it and break down in tears, because, you know, it's like my realization that it's not over, and there's still people out there that care, and they're willing to, you know, try to do things to help you and encourage you. And it's just like, you have to just keep going. You have to keep doing what you know is right, because, like, if there's something else you can still do for somebody, you know, like, I mean, I know, like, you know, I can't have kids, but if my sister is, you know, got to go to work and she can't find a babysitter, and it's like, hey, I'm here, you know, I'm not going to give up on helping other people. So it's like, I know God's not done with me yet, and there's still things for me to do here. So it's like, I'm going to get through, you know. If I have to sit there and sacrifice and eat, you know, ravioli or something for a week, then that's what I'm going to do, because I'm not going to give up. I mean, I'm just not. So,
yeah, that's good advice, not to give up. Absolutely, do not give up. So I'm going to encourage and ask everybody to please check out that GoFundMe, and even if it's only $1 or $5, every little bit helps. You know, every little bit is, you know, whether it's paying a medical bill or just helping to alleviate stress. Because when you're sick, you don't need that stress that makes you sicker. So I do implore everybody to please check out that GoFundMe or contact me for, you know, Monica's information, how to get a hold of her directly. And Monica, what's the biggest thing that we can do for you to help you right now?
I guess, I mean, for us, even more than anything, it's just pray for us, and just pray that God will just and some kind of sign that it's going to be okay. And I mean, the medical bills are going to be there. The cars, you know, they need repairs. It's like, we got our last two cars, like, we had car payments and we got those repoed, but, you know, we got a good deal and had, you know, we're able to buy a couple of used cars on cash. It's like, so now we don't have a car payment, but I mean, obviously, like, we still, you know, have to keep those up and keep doing, you know, repair on that, so that we have cars to get to work, and so I have something to get to my appointments. And I mean, we've had several weeks where buying groceries or buying gas was like a choice we had to make, and we had to decide which one was more important that week. And so, I mean, right now it's just, you know, we just need God to just show us that it's going to be okay, and the struggles are really going to turn into something beautiful. You know, every rose has thorns, you know.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that brings to another thing that I think often we can sit and we can just complain and bemoan the thorns, or we can be thankful that roses do have thorns. So thank you for being on our show today. Again, anyone, please check out the chat. Go to the GoFundMe. Even if it's just $1 or $2, please consider giving. And this is Michelle Murray, and you can listen to Shell's Three Cents.